And welcome to Raw Talk here on M88. I'm your host, Yo. This is the show where we want to challenge you, encourage you, and most of all, get you to think. And hopefully that's exactly what we'll do with tonight's topic as we talk a little bit about youth groups. Are they really as effective as we think they are? Are they more than just a place to hang out? We're going to take a look at some statistics. We're going to chat with a couple of guys who've joined us, and we're going to take your calls as well. 505-338-5790. Gentlemen, I have Jeremy and Greg with me. Why don't you each introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about what you do, where you're from, where you work, blah, blah, blah.
Hi, my name is Jeremy Bannister. I'm the youth minister over at Heights Christian Church. I've been there for about 5 years now, and I'm just enjoying my life, loving ministering to youth. So that's what I'm doing.
Awesome. I love Jeremy, too, because in youth pastor years, Jeremy is beyond dinosaur if he's been somewhere for 5 years. Commitment is key. My name is Greg Schneeberger. I'm the youth minister at Desert Springs Church. I just got back to New Mexico from San Diego and took the job at the church. I'm also enjoying it with my own set of struggles to work through. It's not an easy job for me. It's been a huge blessing and at the same time really grown me in some unique ways. So glad to be on the show, Yo. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys joined me. And let me also say that, just to set the stage, that when I'm talking about this tonight, I'm not talking in complete ignorance. While we were stationed in Turkey at an Air Force base there, my first couple of years of college, I also did some high school youth ministry as well. And as I think about back on that, a lot of the stuff we're going to talk about tonight, I kind of noticed then, in a smaller way. And I remember I tried to do some things, and there was some resistance to that. And we'll get into that later on during the show. So this is not just me saying, hey, I read some numbers, and now I know everything there is to know about youth ministry. And, just doing it for a few years that I did when I was overseas, of course, doesn't make me an expert in any form, but at least I'm not completely alien to this entire topic. Now, I want to start off with Proverbs 22:6, because that's a verse that a lot of people have used, for parents, which basically in the Yo International New Version, train up a child as they should go and they will not stray from it. That's not an exact quote by any means. But that's something that we always talk about with parenthood. But when I was thinking about doing this show, I was thinking, really, that's also something that should be a part of youth ministry. And that as youth leaders, that should be a goal, that not that you just provide a safe place for them to hang out, but you train them so that as they grow, they will not stray from what they've been taught. And the reason this comes up is if you remember a few months ago, we did a show where we talked about 20-somethings and how 60% of 20-somethings leave their faith despite being active in a high school youth ministry. Now, when I read that, I wasn't terribly surprised, but I was like, man, that's just way too high. Mm. And we did a show where we talked with some college leaders, and we asked, what do you think about this? How can we change this and whatnot? But as I did that show, about halfway through that show, I realized, I'm talking to the wrong people. I mean, not that they didn't have, good feedback on the topic, but I realized the problem is already basically planted by the time they get to college.
Mm. Yeah, excellent.
So
absolutely.
Really, if we're going to prevent 60% of kids from leaving their faith when they get to college, it's got to start mid-high youth group or high school youth group. And so that's why we're coming back to that topic tonight to discuss, what are youth groups doing? And just a couple other statistics to share. We did another show not too long ago where we talked about ghosts and psychics and mediums, and one of the statistics that stood out from that show was that 28% of Christian kids say they have never been taught anything about the supernatural to help them form a view of the supernatural world. And we're like, oh, well, what's the big deal? I mean, you don't need to talk about ghosts in youth group. But then when you go on to consider that over 7 million kids say they've had some sort of encounter with an angelic or demonic being, and you have a huge percentage of kids who consult psychics, who consult Ouija boards, thinking, oh, it's all just fun and games, well, then it becomes a major issue. And then, of course, you have the usual statistics about, kids engaging in premarital sex. It was kind of interesting. I was looking at another study that said among kids whose parents and who themselves say they have high religious beliefs, 41% have engaged in premarital sex. I'm like, high religious belief, and it's 41%? That doesn't seem to connect with me for some reason. Mm. But this was a secular study, so they're saying, oh, that's a good thing. That's, you know, that's below 50%. Hey, that's great.
Yeah.
So what we want to talk about is, well, what are we really doing with youth groups, and how can we help them be more effective in establishing a firm foundation for kids as they go into life? What about you guys, Jeremy and Greg? What have you seen in youth groups today that you think might be broken?
Well, there's a couple of things I think of. Is the first thing has to do with family involvement. I think youth pastors need to be much more proactive in getting all the family involved in the lives of their youth. Sometimes what happens as a result of youth ministries being there, you have this dynamic youth ministry, and then you have parents who are going on cruise control for, you know, 7 years or so, sixth grade through 12th grade. And then when they're finished with that, their parents really haven't interacted with their kids on a spiritual level for 7 years. And you quoted that great verse from Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. And the truth of the matter is, it is the parents' first that's supposed to be the spiritual mentors. We can't, as youth pastors, ever replace the influence that parents are going to have. Every study ever done shows that parents are number one in the influential spiritual development of their youth. So I think youth pastors have to be proactive in trying to get their parents involved in the lives of their youth. So that's the first thing. I think the second thing is this, and Greg alluded to it kind of jokingly when I introduced myself, saying that I had been over at Heights for 5 years. But being in one place as a youth pastor for the period of time I've been in is like a dinosaur. The studies show that it's in between 14 and 18 months that a youth pastor stays.
Well, really?
If that's the average statistic.
Wow.
So, if that's the way that it is, then youth aren't getting any consistency within their own youth ministries. The youth ministry that I'm in before I got there went through 7 youth pastors in a 15-year period of time.
Wow.
And I think that just translate to so many different things in so many different areas. Youth pastors don't have a program that they're creating. They're just barely building relationships with the kids before, boom, they're gone again. And then the next ones who are coming in are trying to say, well, where are these kids at? And they're trying to figure that out. They can't take the kids deeper because they don't know which kids need to go deeper, and they won't know that for a while. They're trying to get their bearings straight in a new youth ministry environment. It's so key for youth ministers to stay the course, to stay there for a long period of time. That's my commitment to our youth, is that I was there, I was going to be there for a long period of time. One of the things that drew me to Heights was they wanted me on a 5-year contract. They told me afterwards nobody else had ever made it through that 5-year contract. But I told them I wanted to be the first, because it had always been a commitment on my heart that if I want these youth to grow and I want these youth to really learn, if I want a program that's going to build depth and reach out and really affect the lives of youth in a positive way, then I need to be there. And it can't be done in 24 months. It's going to be done over a lifetime of working there. And that's why I've been there over at Heights, and that's where I want to stay for a long period of time, so that we can see youth built up in Christ and see that faith is a good thing. That their faith in Christ can have depth, that they can build a relationship with somebody who's not going to leave after two years, a year, 6 months. And, you know, for a long time, I thought that statistic was just the honest to goodness truth. When you read something like that, you're going, oh, no way, not 14 to 18 months. That's just way too short. We did Christmas tree sales first year I was here. I went to 15 different youth groups, and I had only been on the job 6 months, and there were only 3 youth pastors I talked to with more experience in their job at that time than I had at only 6 months period of time.
Wow.
So.
Greg?
Wow. Amen. Yeah. Okay. 573 million amens to Jeremy right now. I'm so glad we're on the same page. Because part of me was wondering, you know, you never know exactly who's going to be on the show. And yo, first of all, thank you so much for asking this question. What's the number again to call in?
It's 505-338-5790 if you want to toss your 2 cents in, or if you got a question for one of these fine gentlemen, or for me, but I'll generally defer to them.
Yeah, please call. I'd love to hear from some students and from some parents. I'm down at Desert Springs, and God's really blessed us. We have some wonderful staff guys, some awesome elders and teaching elders down there who really pastor and love the flock, but we've seen the same exact thing, just a need for family ministry. I mean, I'm 25, and you know, I still try to keep up somewhat with movies and music. I'm not like full-on raging nerd out of control quite yet. I'm getting there. I'm hoping to get there soon, because you can't be cool for too long until you fall into the pit of perpetual, it just doesn't work. But at the end of the day, consistency is huge, and the culture is buying for these kids' souls. I know we say it, and it almost sounds cliche, but for the sake of a dollar, you know, just affections here, affections there. There's a lot of confusion. I think that there's been sort of a societal evolution, and from my meager studies, at least in the last probably 30 to 50 years, just this movement toward a more entertainment-centered youth ministry. And we've seen it. It's what I grew up in. I'll tell you, I had 20 friends. My kids have heard this story about 100 times. I rolled with 20 guys back in the day. We all went to a church that now is a phenomenal Bible-teaching church, but basically it was just pizza and pony rides when we were there. I kid you not, laser light shows. And don't get me
really
wrong.
Really, you had lasers?
It was off the hook.
Wow.
it was beautiful. But at the end of the day, it was a mile wide and an inch deep.
Yeah.
They had a grip of kids there. But how could you know kids?
Right.
And I didn't even know adults went to the church. My friend was like, come on, there's free Cokes and girls. I was like, sweet, I'll go to church. Awesome. Rock on. Let's do it. Free Cokes. You know, raid the adult Bible study. That's the only time I saw gray hair.
Yeah.
And what happened was I had these 20 kids that I used to roll with. I kid you not, 18 of these guys have basically just gone apostate. They're over it. They were probably never saved in the first place, even though we prayed the prayer about 720 times at every retreat. 97th grade girls flooding the altar. But without families, without consistency, without something to really ground these kids, it's just, it's paddling upstream. And so that's something that we have also at our church, Jeremy, and I praise God because I think it's so biblical. I mean, if you look at not just the history of the church, but the entire biblical history of child rearing, this idea of hire the cool 25-year-old punk who's probably struggling with worse things than the high school guy is to lead, you know, 200 kids and put on a show is the most unbiblical paradigm I've ever heard of in my whole life. And so I can just say it, and I hope I don't sound reactionary because I want to love and respect all of my brothers and sisters who are serving in youth ministry. It's a hard calling with a schizophrenic job description. You know, you're counselor / psychologist / teacher / mentor / you know, event planner, 98 other things, but...
And then people wonder what you do all day.
Oh, I love that. Oh, you work at a church. What do you do? Yeah, thanks. All right, sweet. You need to get sanctified. But we've really just tried to do three things at DSC, and I'll kind of shut up. I'm long-winded, but really promote a holistic ministry. Parents are invited to everything we do, everything. Our services, our gathering times, our small group Bible studies. And if kids want to get tough, if they want to front and think adults aren't cool, then they can shut up. Because I'm serious. Who decides
awesome.
That? Who decides that adolescents have the cognitive capability to distinguish between what is right and wrong for them at a given point in their lives? They're brilliant, but at the same time, they're idiots. It's like a world full of book knowledge with no common sense.
Right.
And so we just tell kids every week from the pulpit, you guys might look up to us as young adult leaders, quote unquote, but we look up to your parents. Because we see how much responsibility they've taken on, the burden. I can't even imagine what it's like to raise kids. So we have family, we have God's word, just keeping that central. Because again, at the end of the day, you know what? What's the program, Jer? You know, what is it? You know, give away a PlayStation 2? Oh, no. We're a family ministry. We do family night. Every night is family night. It's just a big family. It's a commune. You know what I mean? Everyone smells like some weird hippie bomb and patchouli oil. Like, amazing. At the end of the day, it can't just be a program. It's got to be the Holy Spirit working through his word. And just to kind of throw in this last little plug, family, God's word, and finally, service. Something that I have seen stand out as a bright light on the hills of adolescent existential boredom. Kids are bored with their boring, me-centered, me-istic, all about me, my space, my time, YouTube, all about me, put myself on the internet, gotta love me, see me, all about me. It just gets old. You come to an end of yourself.
I don't think youth want that at all. I mean, the honest to goodness truth is anytime I have asked any youth to serve, they do so eagerly. They really mm-hmm. do. They're mm-hmm. wanting something different.
That's
they
right.
don't want just the entertainment all the time. They get enough of that at home.
That's right.
If they want entertainment, they can go play Xbox. And it's not to say we don't have games and stuff like that at our youth group. It's not like you're going to go to
sure,
Jeremy's youth group, then it's going to be totally boring. And
right.
it's not like that at all. But there's service in the midst of that. And kids are wanting to make a difference. They want to see their faith make a difference.
Well, touching on that, I came across an interesting article talking about the state of high school seniors today. And in this article, it said that the top desire among students in youth ministry was service projects. They wanted more service projects.
Yep.
Right after that, more time for deep conversation. After that, they wanted more mission trips. After that, more accountability. And right after that, they wanted more time to worship. And I was actually kind of surprised when I came across that. I was like, really? This is what they want? And, you know, the studying the Bible was also high in there. This was kind of interesting, though, because they're saying that high school seniors who are in youth groups maybe on average read the Bible 2 to 3 times per month on their own. And so a time to study the Bible as well is in there. And you brought up, Greg, it's a, you know, it's a mile wide, but it's an inch deep. And the question is, well, aren't you guys just giving kids what they want? Do kids really want, you know, a whole bunch of deep, theological, in-depth Bible study? And before we answer that, 505-338-5790. If you got a question, if you want to throw in and chime in with what we're talking about tonight, please do so. We want to, you know, if you're in a youth group, you don't agree with what we're saying, I want to know what you think about this. Are we on right on with this? Do you think youth groups are doing a good job the way they are? Let us know what you think. 505-338-5790. So, and the reason I bring up that question, well, do kids really want that? Is because back when we did our show on ghosts and whatnot, someone called in, and I didn't go into it then because it was not the appropriate show to dive in with that. But the guy said, well, you know, youth don't need to know about ghosts and psychics and mediums. That's not pertinent to them as high schoolers. It'd be like teaching them about marriage. That's not pertinent to a high schooler.
Gosh,
they don't need to know about marriage. Yeah, I know. And I didn't say it because, again, it wasn't the time for that show. But I was thinking, oh, okay, yeah, marriage is not pertinent for a high schooler. Let's wait and teach them about marriage after they've already been married. And we're facing all these kinds of problems. They don't know what to do about it, and they need to go into counseling. Mm. Then let's tell them about marriage. That might be why we have a 50% divorce rate in the church.
Yep.
And actually, according to some studies, it's creeping past what the world is, creeping up 51, 52, depending on what studies you look at. I mean, so, you know, the question is, well, do kids really want to hear anything about marriage? Do they want a deep Bible study? What do you guys think?
Absolutely. I mean, I've had great conversations with the kids in our youth group who I tell them, ask me questions. That's why I'm here. Ask me some questions so that if you've got something burning at you, we've answered questions that guys wanted to know about homosexuality. We've answered questions about marriage. We've answered questions about the ghosts and the demons and stuff. They may not always like the answers that I give them because the answers may conflict with what they want to believe. But at the same time, they're asking those questions. They want to know. I've got one of my youth right now who, you know, asked what's heaven going to be like? I mean, not just the, you know, I believe in Jesus and I'm going to heaven, but really, what is heaven like? Because he was having a hard time understanding, am I going to really enjoy heaven forever? And it was a great conversation to get into. And it's the type of things that I really want to discuss with the youth. I know one of the things we're going through in our Sunday school classes is we are just going through the Bible book at a time, listening to it verbatim and then kind of breaking it down, because a lot of the youth, like you said in that study, don't read it for themselves. We have an awesome opportunity. We have their captive audience to really go through a time of study and give them something in depth so that they'll understand it better. We just did Revelation. I mean, what youth doesn't want to do Revelation?
Well, don't you think there's a perception out there that the question would be reverse? Like, what youth would want to do Revelation? Come on. They're more interested in, you know, other stuff. They want to have a good time. They're more interested in, they don't need to have all this time deep into the Word. That's for when you're older. I mean, doesn't it seem that, like, that's the perception a lot? I've run into that a lot,
well,
me personally, in my experience.
I guess my experience is this. They have 6 days a week, 22 hours out of the day to go do what they want to do. The time that they have with the youth minister is less than they're going to spend there with their teacher. I mean, if they go once a week to a youth group that may be 2 hours long, that's, you know, 2.5 times less than they spend with their math teacher. Their math teacher doesn't placate to them as far as, well, let's just do games today. You know,
right.
We want to do games,
right.
Boys and girls.
Placate to them.
I mean, I think, you know, yo, can I jump in on that really
yeah,
quick?
Yeah, let's do that. And then we'll get to Scott. Hang on,
okay.
Scott.
Scott. We love you. Do not hang up. We want to talk to you. Number one thing is this. Does the gospel work? Kids are asking. Mm-hmm. Okay. There's hypocrites in churches. Thank you, Captain Obvious. We appreciate you. Pin a rose on your beautiful nose. Hypocrites everywhere. It's a finite universe. People are limited. They are constricted by the limitations of their own flesh. Yeah, people are inconsistent. But does the gospel work? And I think the reason kids will learn to love God's word and need God's word, and I totally agree with Jeremy, we don't capitulate to what a youth want or what a youth ministers want. We let God's word guide us. God's word is, it's other, it's given to us, it's revealed. It's not just our bright idea that we came up with. So we let God's word tell us, what should we talk about? Well, guess what? God's word talks about marriage. Why? Because it's a picture of Christ and his church. And in a broken society, degenerate and so quick to escape commitment and love the self, we need to talk about marriage, and mortgages more than we ever have. That said, something that we just continue to ask our youth, and I think has really welled up a fire and a passion in them to have answers, is, does your worldview answer the questions that burn in your heart? Mm-hmm. Because if you don't know God's word, you're going to get to school, you're going to take a religion class, you're going to have a liberal prof, and all of a sudden, the gospels don't make sense, there's a bunch of discrepancies, nothing. All right, whoa, dude, I just went into techno beat voice.
That's all right. I totally hear what you're saying, because when I was in college, I also came across, a similar phenomenon where kids would get to a biology class. It's like, hey, my biology professor said this. I don't know what to believe anymore. I'm like, really? You took one class and you already you don't know what to believe anymore? Let's get to Scott. Scott's been hanging on the line. Scott, welcome to Raw Talk. And what do you have to say, Scott?
Hey, thanks for the show.
Yeah, that's what we're here for. What do you want to say?
Well, I was just observing. I'm 30 years old, and I went to Bible study myself when I was in high school. Because of that Bible study, I've stepped in through the years, and I just recently had the opportunity to kind of fill the place of a youth pastor just the last couple weeks, and I had the same observation about the service orientation of the youth, and I am really amazed by that, because I do not remember feeling that way about trying to be service oriented when I was that age. And I can't help but feel like, hey, maybe God has a plan. Maybe there's a difference in the generations. And even though we're just totally being, as a society, barraged by email and the internet and all these things, that God has a plan that I never suspected for this generation of being service-oriented. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I think you're right. I mean, when I read that statistics, I was pretty surprised. Really? They want to do more service? I don't remember that when I was a kid either.
Yeah, Scott, neither do I, and I totally agree with you, brother. I think, as I said, kids want to know, does the gospel work? I'm learning about it in a Bible study. I'm hearing about it at church, but there's kids at school, just like Yo said, who are into a million different things, spirits and this craziness, this religion. Truth is whatever you want it to be. It's relative. It's subjective. But everyone knows in their heart that that doesn't work. Everyone knows that truth isn't relative. And so kids are wondering, all right, this Jesus thing that we're learning about, does it actually work in real time? Does it actually happen on the streets? Or is it just something for, the youth group on Sunday morning? And I've noticed that, it sounds like Jeremy has too, that students are excited and scared at the same time. But that's where we as youth ministers and parents and leaders can lovingly and with utmost humility come alongside them in our own fear and trembling and say, all right, let's get outside the walls and let's put some of this study of God, this theology, into action, because it does work. That's the beauty. That's why we're here in this little room right now, in this crazy thing, drinking ghetto 3-day-old coffee that I just refried, because we love Jesus and we believe, as we've asked the hard questions in our own lives, that every hard question is answered best at the cross.
Hey, Scott, where do you work at with youth?
Well, I am in the Air Force, and I work out in Cannon Air Force Base in Clovis.
Cool.
And the church I go to is the First Church of the Nazarene.
Cool. All right. Well, Scott, we'll keep you in our prayers as you undertake that endeavor. I know it's going to be a lot of work. And thanks so much for chiming in tonight.
You bet. Take it easy.
All right. Take care, Scott.
Thanks, Scott.
And up next we have Andrew. Andrew, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
I just wanted to say that, I know personally I would like to see, more service projects in my youth group, just because we don't do enough. And I would really like to be more challenged in doing those kind of things, because like in our town, there's a lot of churches, and kids go to church, and then, that's it.
Hey, Andrew. Let me ask you, why is it, do you think, that your youth group doesn't do more service projects, or other churches in your town don't do that type of thing? Why do you think the youth groups aren't doing that?
Well, our youth group here, a bunch of youth groups here in town have, they've kind of come to, you come on Wednesday, you play some games, you go to a quick 20-minute service, you're in, you're out, you know, make church. But, you know...
That was great.
I've noticed a lot of people have a like mind that they want to be challenged in their Christianity. They want to be able to go to their friends and be proud of their church and, like, say, what do you know how to get saved? And a lot of them would be able to say, yes, and here's why. But most of them aren't challenged enough to actually do that kind of stuff. And I think there is a want out there, but I think that youth ministers and churches and youth need to start speaking up and getting connected instead of just kind of meeting once a week.
Absolutely. Well, Andrew, thank you so much for calling in and chiming in with your opinion. Where are you calling from, Andrew?
Clovis, New Mexico.
Clovis, New Mexico. Very cool, dude. Well, thanks for joining us tonight.
No problem.
All right. Have a good night. Well, we appreciate Andrew calling in, and it's cool to hear someone who's actually in a youth group chime in. And if you're in a youth group and you got something that you want to say, maybe this isn't the case in your youth group. Maybe your youth group is doing the total opposite of what we're talking about. I'd love to hear from someone who has the opposite opinion. I was actually kind of bummed, no offense to Jeremy and Greg here, when both the guys who wrote in said they wanted to be on the show both agreed with my view that maybe this is a problem. And they both go, oh, yeah, it's totally a problem. Let's talk about this. Like, cool, but I kind of like someone else who thinks it's not a problem, so we can get both sides to this. So if you think that it's not as big of a problem as we're making it out to be,
that other
I'd
guy,
love to hear from you.
That other guy already got burnt out and he left his church after 14 months.
There you go. This was kind of interesting. In a article that was done by the Barna Research Group, the guy who did this study on 20-somethings, 60% of them leaving their faith, one of the things that he said, and I'm quoting from the article, says, much of ministry to teenagers in America needs an overhaul, not because churches fail to attract significant numbers. And actually, he went on to say about 81% of teenagers in America have been to a youth group. That's a huge chunk. Mm-hmm. All right. So not that they're not failing to attract significant numbers of young people, but because so much of those efforts are not creating a sustainable faith beyond high school. He goes on to say the levels of disengagement among 20-somethings suggest that a youth ministry fails too often at discipleship and faith formation. What do you guys think? What would your response be to that statement from that article?
I'd agree with that. I mean, just because of the fact that when you go back to one of the things that I was talking about earlier, that youth pastors don't stick around, so youth pastors can't even train up other people to work with youth. They don't have anybody there to help challenge their faith. We send the kids off, and a lot of times youth pastors trying to get their bearings keep on topical messages and very skim-the-surface type of messages, never diving really deep for the kids. While all the time they're in school, they're preparing for college. They're preparing for their next step. They're hearing about Darwinian evolution as fact. They're hearing about all of these other things that tell them that they're not special and these things have been proven and your faith is false and everything like that, that they're going to be challenged with even more in college when they get out on their own. And all the fun in the world isn't going to help you with those arguments if you're wanting to stay strong in your faith. Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, you need to be challenged in your faith to the proportion that you're being challenged in school. You need to bring out the tough questions. You need to talk that out. You need to have those times where you can sit down and discuss it with the youth. But a youth pastor who's only there for 14 months or 18 months isn't going to be able to do that. I mean, they'd like to. That's what they'd like to work toward, but they're not able to. And I find that what a youth pastor needs to do is have others who are around him or her in the position that they're in and train up other adults who can care for the youth and help answer these questions. Because myself, even myself, I can't answer all the questions that the youth are going to bring to me. I need some other adults that are around me who are passionate about youth ministry, who are passionate about explaining to the youth these things. And so one of my goals as a youth pastor is to train others in that capacity of ministering to youth. And I think it's so important because we can't do it all ourselves.
You got anything you want to add, Greg?
Oh, dangerous question, yo. I would just say this. Sustainable faith is a faith that suffers, a faith that is tested. And Christ has called us to take up a cross. We live in a society of cheap love, cheap life, cheap grace. And I think that that's all the more reason for holistic family ministry, because it's confrontational. It's sanctifying. It causes you to deal with issues. Mm-hmm. And with people that you're actually living out life with. Yeah, you can show up to church and fake it for an hour twice a week. It's so easy. And I think a lot of times youth pastors get cut off at the knees because parents aren't really doing the work of pastoring their kids at home. And as parents, they are the primary pastoral resource for their children. Well, what does that mean for us as youth pastors? Exactly what Jeremy said. Humbly and patiently in our own lives and in the lives of our parents, trying to love them and train them up. Because the Proverbs example only works in a society with community.
Right.
And we've moved away from a communal model of church into this, you know, super crazy mall show up. And I don't care if your church has three people, 33, or 33 million. At the end of the day, if you just show up, spend an hour, and leave, that's not living out the gospel with other people in community. And so I agree, our faith has to suffer through service, through the confrontation of being in community. Gray-haired people need to ask you the hard questions. And they need to look into your eyes and let you know that they too have asked the hard questions, and it's okay for you to waver. It's okay for you to fall, because when you do, there will be someone who's older than you and stronger than you to catch you. And far too often, that's just not the case. I'm convicted about that in my own youth ministry, because we have, you know, X amount of kids that show up on a Sunday morning, and I don't even know all their names. What am I supposed to do? I get 2 hours a week with them. But on top of that, you know, it's lesson planning, and I'm in grad school right now trying to finish that and doing some other stuff. I do the best I can, but we need families. We need community. That should be the church. That should be the church victorious, right? Not with sword in hand, but with love and with faith in hand, involved in the community and working out a faith that is seen by people in a way that's real. There's something just utterly transparent about intergenerational community, asking the hard questions, training, and faith that is in the midst of that being challenged, a cross that is being born. You can't replicate that with a program.
Absolutely. We have Terry on the line. Terry, welcome to Raw Talk, and what do you have to say?
Hi, I've been a youth pastor or youth leader for probably about 6 years of a small little church in Moriarty. It's God's House of Worship. And I remember when I was first, the Lord was kind of showing me, I want you to do this. And I was just scared to death. And I thought, Lord, I can't do this. And then, you know, I got to say, once I submitted, it was so easy. It was amazing because it's God. But one thing I have noticed is that, you know, the youth that are in the youth group, they're dynamic. They're wonderful. They're on fire for God many, many times. But I think some of the problem is that the lack of parent involvement, because many of the youth don't come from Christian home, which is, I'm so blessed that they're with us and they stick with us and they're real loyal and they just really work well as a team. But there's just very little adult intervention and that's one thing I find kind of concerning, honestly, because if the leaders of if the adults aren't showing leadership and teamwork and community intervention, then it makes it hard for the teams to sometimes be the ones that lead in that role. And many times they do, but still it's hard. That's one thing I find. Many people are scared of, if I can't do youth group, there's adults that are not willing to, substitute. Mm-hmm. And, I think that's our future. And, this is where Christianity is going, is with our youth. And, it's the most important thing. It's one of the most important things in Christianity is our youth, our future. And I think that's what, I guess that's what I called to say.
Well, Terry, that was very good. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing us with us. I appreciate it, and I hope, everything continues to go well with your youth group.
They are. They're great. Wonderful youth, and I'm so appreciative that God put me in the place I am with him, because they feed me, and they're just wonderful, and they keep me young.
Well, so, that's also very important.
Tremendously. Thank you again.
Cool, Terry. Well, you keep on keeping on, and thanks for sharing with us tonight.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Have a good
God
night.
God bless.
And if you have something that you'd like to share with us about this topic, I'd like to hear some more from kids who are in youth groups. What do you think? I mean, here we are. We're all these people who think we know what you guys think, but we don't know what you think. What do you think about youth groups? Are youth groups doing a good job? As a member of a youth group, are you getting what you want out of it? Do you want more out of it? What more would you like to see a youth group do? Let us know. 505-338-5790 and tell us what you think about the state of today's youth groups. Are they doing a good job? Are they providing you with what you need, or do you want more? Let us know what you think. 505-338-5790. Now, something that I've heard a lot so far tonight, you guys can correct me if you think I'm off base here, but I keep hearing that parents need to be more involved, that perhaps youth group leaders are starting to feel like it's too much of their responsibility to do what they're doing with these kids. Where do you think this mentality comes from, that people are like, oh, we'll just send our kids off to youth group and they'll be fine?
Oh, I think it's two things. I think parents are at this stage trying to let go of their kids. They realize their kids are getting more and more independent, and this is also the stage where a lot of the kids are around their parents, and they're like, I don't want you there. I really would not like it if you were there with all of my friends, right. And if you were there with my friends, then I would be really lame. And yet, I've had parents involved in the youth ministry, and what normally happens is the very accountability that the kids say that they want, they start having, because then all of their friends start knowing their family members, and their family members are not the mean parents anymore. They're the cool parents.
Right.
And it's like, no, they're cool. And so when they start saying, well, you know what, my mom's like, well, you know what, we know your mom, and that's pretty neat. And I think that there's that pressure on the parents, that perception that if I get involved, my kid's not going to like me being involved with it.
My parents were very involved with everything that we did, and I'm so appreciative of that. And, you know, what was kind of cool, now that you bring that up and I think back on it, a lot of kids loved being at our house. Why? Because my parents cared enough to sometimes chew these kids out. I know a couple times when my mom, you know, laid down the law, you know, and she was never mean about it, but she was not afraid to pull aside my friends, my brother's friends, my sister's friends, and say, hey, you know what? What you're doing is wrong, and it's going to cause you harm. And I think the fact that, you know, our friends knew that my parents cared enough sometimes to say, you're wrong. If you keep doing that, you're not going to come to our house. You know, they appreciated it. And I think you're absolutely right. I mean, everyone thought our parents were so cool, and I could never figure out why. It's like, are you kidding? They're always, like, telling you to make the moral choice and stuff. I didn't think that was cool in high school. I thought you'd just do whatever you want. We have Precious on the line.
Yes.
Precious, welcome to Rod Talk. And what do you have to say, Precious?
I'm from Greg's youth group.
Okay.
Desert Springs.
All right. And what do you think?
I love Greg. He's really brought our youth group together. Like, ever since he came, we all just have become, like, a really big family. And, like, our parents are definitely involved, like, in our youth group and stuff, because we see them there every week, you know. Greg's saying hi to them, and we've really just, like, our whole, like, youth group is just, like, and the parents have just become a huge old family, and it's really good.
It doesn't embarrass you to have your parents be friends with your youth pastor?
No, I think it's amazing, because then my worlds collide, and, like, my home life can be the same thing as my church life.
Well, that's very cool. Precious, thank you so much for calling in. I feel so weird calling you Precious, because, you know, it's something I'd call my kids or something. So I like you, but just not in that way, Precious.
Okay.
Thanks for calling in, Precious.
Okay.
I just have fun
You're
saying
awesome,
that.
Precious.
All right.
That's so awkward. Next up, we have Isaac. Isaac, welcome to Raw Talk, and what do you have to say?
I just wanted to say that, like, I go to Vertical here at Calvary.
Uh-huh.
And, like, we have a lot of different ministries that we can get plugged into. And that has its ups and downs, because we have a really big youth group and all.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, sometimes there's cliques and stuff like that, and it's kind of hard sometimes. But it takes a lot about the students, too. They have to be willing to get involved.
And let me ask you, why do you think some students don't want to get involved?
Sometimes, maybe because they're like shy or something like that. They think that maybe nobody will like them. But if it's really a Christian youth group, they should be able to accept anyone.
Amen.
Yeah. Isaac, thank you so much for calling in and sharing, man.
Thanks, bro.
All right.
All right. And next up, we have Joshua on the line. Joshua, welcome to Raw Talk. And what do you have to say?
I am actually a member of a youth group. I'm not one of the leaders. And my dad is leader. He teaches our high school Sunday school.
Wow.
And I'm a member of that Sunday school. And it is not one problem with me at all. I don't have a problem with that. It's great. I get to learn more about my father more than I do at home. It's kind of weird.
Love it.
But, no, I don't think that that would be a problem with many people. My parents don't embarrass me at all, and I've been brought up with them and close to them my whole life.
Very cool.
Can I pipe in?
But sorry. As for people leaving around the age of 20 and stuff like that, that has been a major subject in our high school class recently, because my dad's been hammering on people, why are we leaving and what can be done about it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because my brother, he just recently graduated, and he isn't going to church anymore either, and he still lives at home. And a couple of his friends and stuff like that that used to go to church aren't there. And I don't think that it has much to do with the church's involvement in them. I don't think that's always a problem. Like, quite often it's just being busy. Just being way too busy with school and with work and stuff like that. Their life changes. It takes a whole new gear. And then they don't keep the church part in that also.
Do you want to jump in, Greg?
Yeah. Man, Josh, thank you. That's...
And the... maybe the one thing that church could do is try and make a little bit more active after a youth group.
Right.
Ah. That's huge. That's been another reason I think that we've really tried to focus on intergenerational youth groups, because that's exactly what you see. Kids leave high school and they fall away. Their point of connection, their point of pastoral contact has been up to the age of 17, 18, but they've got no young adult point of contact and really no adult influence. They've got cool young adult leaders, but making that transition something that's very intentional, I think, is something for youth pastors to work on and strive for. Another thing that Josh mentioned was this idea of busyness. I just live in a culture that it's so busy. And for anyone who's listening, youth, we don't want to harp on you guys that you're, doing debate. You play three instruments in the band plus a flute and a harmonica at the same time with, I don't even know, in five sports. It's madness. But we have to learn to slow down, because relationships take time. We're in a microwave culture. You know, you want coffee? Refry it, throw it in the microwave. Add some gnarly cream to it. Game on. But if you want relationships with people, if you want to really know people and be known, that takes time and it takes patience. And I think something that Jeremy alluded to, and Josh, I love to hear that about your dad. That's so awesome, man. Hold on to that, because everything else is going to fade to the background. All the cool styles, everything that's sweet right now, a bunch of guys walking around with long black hair and girl jeans on, that's going to be over in like a year. But your dad is going to be there, and it's exactly what kids are longing for. And I challenge you, parents, if you're listening and your kids are like, well, I don't want you going to the youth group. Well, first of all, when did you start capitulating to your kids? Let the question be reframed, okay? What do you want? What do you need? No. What does God's word say you need and say you want? Do it lovingly, do it humbly, but be assertive, because the very thing that youth are dying for is to be led and to be loved and to be shown how to live. And what do we youth know about marriage? You know, what do youth, everything in our society is just immediate self-gratification, hand me down right now. I don't even need to wait 2 seconds. I order it on the internet and it comes steaming on a hot plate to me that's about 57 portion sizes in 2 seconds. When parents have the opportunity to not just read, if your kids don't want you to hang out, parents, awesome. What about all the spiritual orphans in the youth group that the lady was talking about earlier? What about all the kids with parents who don't love the Lord? Those kids need a parent. Mm-hmm. So your kids can just chill and watch all the other kids start to love you, like back in the day at Yo's house, which is always what happens. You don't need to try to be the cool parent. Just be yourself, because kids are longing for that. Psalm 23, your rod and your staff, they guide me. We need that. We don't think we do, because we're born into Adam and our flesh is strong. But if Christ is working in our lives, we absolutely need to be guided and corrected and disciplined. And God has given families, primarily the church, as a means to do that.
Josh, thanks so much for calling in, man. We appreciate you sharing tonight.
Not a problem.
All right. Yeah, have a good night. Let's see, who do we got next? Next we have Sierra. Sierra, welcome to Raw Talk. And what do you have to say?
I go to a youth group, and I think it's pretty cool, like, how their setup is and everything.
Uh-huh.
But, I don't like it when my parents go to my service because of them, it puts pressure on me.
Hmm.
So, like, because they're always bugging me, like, well, did you have good worship today? Like, they're always making sure I'm doing everything perfect. And I like it when I can just go to the youth group and they're not there, just, like, studying my every move, because then I don't really get in touch with the Lord. I get really nervous when they're always watching me.
Well, I can certainly understand that. So do you generally have a better time, a deeper time with the Lord when your parents aren't looking over your shoulder?
Yeah, because after service, they always give me, like, a hard time about it. Like, if I put my hands up after service, they always make fun of me and stuff.
Wow.
In a good way, like, oh, I saw you put your hands up during worship. But after a while, it gets on your nerves.
I can totally understand that. I see where that would start to make things feel a little superficial. Well, Sierra, let me just encourage you, you know, pursue that genuine relationship with God, and don't worry about anyone else if they think that you're doing it in the way that they would want to see it done. As long as you have that connection with God, I think you'll be all right. But we appreciate you calling in and sharing with us tonight.
Yeah, have a good night, guys.
All right, you too. And Nicole is on the line. Nicole, what do you have to say?
Hey there.
Hey.
I'm a mother of four children in Greg's youth group at Desert Springs. And I just have to say that earlier this year when Greg came on board and the whole concept of involving the parents a family, you know, that worship is a family time, and really that the parents are responsible for the kids' spiritual growth, not just dropping them off so they can have a cool time at youth group, was really kind of eye-opening to me. And I'm so blessed by the leadership in our church through Greg and Brian and the other youth leaders, and the example that they're setting and the path that they're paving that's truly biblical.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good to hear, although this is not really Pastor Appreciation Night. Just kidding, Nicole. Nicole, thanks so much for calling in. Now, what do you think? Do you think there has been any change in the youth now that you've had more of the family approach? Do you see a greater desire for being in God's Word, for doing worship, for spiritual things, using this different approach?
Actually, I do. I did see a little apprehension on some of my kids' faces when they saw me walk into service the first time. You mean I really have to sit next to you, Mom? But I do see that God's using this to pull us together, not only spiritually, but as a family. And, definitely the Spirit moving. And also, I found just reaching out my hand and introducing myself to kids that I don't know in the church and finding out who they are and what they're about and running into a lot of new kids. It's the first time they're there, and their kids, their parents aren't with them. So it's been a real blessing.
Very cool. Well, thanks so much for calling in and sharing that with us, Nicole.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Now, something I want to touch on before we run out of time, because this is something that I've discussed with a friend of mine, is perhaps one of the problems with youth groups is that they're hiring kids, like, right out of college, maybe not finished with college.
Amen.
No offense to you, Greg.
Offend me.
Okay, I will. And he was saying, you know what? Why do we think that a youth minister has to be early 20s, totally hip, and single? What can they possibly teach youths when they've barely gotten past that age themselves?
Amen.
And how is that going to benefit the kids, especially? And again, you know, some people are like, well, they don't need to know about marriage, so don't worry about it. That's not such a big deal. All they need to know is that beer is bad. You can do that much? All right. You're doing your job. You know, and what do you guys think? I mean, what do you think? Do you think it's okay to have older people, maybe mid-30s? mid-40s, mid-50s as a youth group leader? And let me just say, I know there's probably some people who are like, hey, if you're in your mid-50s and you're still a youth group leader, well, you're not doing very well in your career as a pastor. I mean, is that a factor?
No, because it's not biblical.
Well, and I'm in my mid-30s.
And still very good looking.
My wife thinks so too, so that's nice.
That's
so,
good. That's good.
You know, there is wisdom in thinking like a parent. And the longer that I've talked with youth ministers who've been in youth ministry for a long period of time would say, you know what, I can't believe I ever did things that I did when I was in my 20s in the youth. I would never do that now as somebody who has a child of their own, who has a teenager of their own. I would never do that. And I learned advice a long time ago that it is great as a youth pastor, even if you are not of, you know, past the age of 20, to think like a parent first. That if you think like a parent, you know, you may not have kids, but if you're thinking like a parent and you're realizing that your place as a youth minister is secondary to mom and dad, then it makes a big difference on the decision of the types of things you do in the youth group, on the types of activities that you plan for, and it can make a big impact on the philosophy of ministry that you have within that youth group, that despite your age, you might be able to look older than your years.
Greg, since you're the youngin' that I was referring to in this equation, why don't you, if you can, really quick, address that topic, and then we'll wrap up what can we do about what we've been discussing tonight.
Yeah, you asked me to do something really quick. So
everyone,
Everyone pray for a miracle. Hallelujah. Bottom line is this, in my mind. You're absolutely right, yo. You're absolutely right. We've looked to the world's model. We've looked in church government. We've said, oh, CEOs, they know what they're doing. Let's do that. You know, eldership doesn't make any sense. We don't want to talk about marriage. That scares kids. So instead, we'll do a million topical sermons on why beer is bad. Which, for the record, beer, drugs, and sex inherently are not the problem. The heart is the problem. Mm-hmm. Now, look, we're very careful with that stuff, and every youth minister should be. But is it something external or something internal? I think Christ was very clear. It's an issue of the heart. From the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Bottom line, from what's in your heart, that is how you will act. And so I think primarily we're Christians. We're people of the book. We need to reframe our questions, our paradigms, analyze our methods and the ideologies that undergird those and ask the hard questions ourselves. You know, if we're always asking, well, kids, what do you want? What do you need? Our youth group will look no different than MTV. And I hate to say it, church is nowhere near as cool as MTV. We will not be able to keep up. Church is a weird place. People in church would never hang out with each other if it weren't for Christ. You've got the weird kid, the cool kid, the T89 kid, the crazy jock kid, the sweetness crew in the back who sits with their arm. I mean, there's a million different types of students. They would never be there if it weren't for Christ. And that's what we have to focus on. My encouragement to parents and to students is that we just need to pray that God would save us from this me-centered mentality. If we have any hope for youth groups, much less whole churches, in a country that is quickly going postmodern, post-marriage, post-everything, it is that we would return to a God-centered view of leading youth, which is family-oriented, which is cyclical in discipleship. That means kids are being discipled by young adults by parents, and it works in a cycle. And you're not just hiring some hip 25-year-old, whatever that means, because I know a lot of the youth pastors in this city, and we're not hip. First of all, if you live in Albuquerque, you're not hip. You're a dork if you live in New Mexico. Get over it. All right, sweet. We have green chili in the mountains. Pin a rose. You're not cool. All right, at the end of the day, like, we need something that transcends cool because cool changes. That's the nature of cool. It's always changing. And so parents need to be real. Like the young girl said, my mom and dad expect perfection. Well, mom and dad, show your kids that you suffer. Show your kids that you're not perfect. Be honest. Talk with them about struggles and sins. Not carelessly, not in a trite manner, but let them see you needing the gospel as much as you're telling them that they need the gospel. And when church does become a place of confrontation and weird looks the first time that moms and dads walk into the youth room, go to God's word and let the word be what guides everything that's done in youth ministry. And if that happens, then whether you're 25 or 55, and I would praise the Lord to say we have both in our youth group, God will work and speak through that because his word does not return void.
Well, throughout the evening, despite my best attempts, I have yet to hear anyone who really strongly disagrees that there is a problem in youth group. It seems most people are like, yeah, youth groups really aren't getting it done. And there is a problem there. Kids are falling away. They're falling into all kinds of problems that maybe a youth group should be there to help them with. So then let's conclude with the question, well then, how can we make youth groups more effective in preventing 20-somethings from falling away from their faith, from preventing 28% of teenagers consulting a Ouija board or a psychic and thinking, hey, there's nothing wrong with that, from preventing 41% of highly religious Christian teenagers thinking premarital sex is good. What can we do as youth groups and youth group leaders to prevent this from happening and make a youth group a place that has sustainable faith?
Well, I think one of the things I just echo what I said earlier. We got to get parents involved. But I think more than that, on the level of the churches, churches need to, number one, be looking for youth ministers who want to be youth ministers for a career, not for a couple of years and then jump into a senior pastorate ministry. The idea that youth ministry is not a full-time job, is not a full-time ministry, is not worthy of the same type of attention of senior pastor, that wall has got to be eradicated, because it's destroyed a lot of youth groups. It's destroyed a lot of good youth ministers who moved into pulpit ministry who had no desire to do so, but kind of pushed them in that direction.
It's not a stepping stone.
It's not a stepping stone. It's not a step. And I would encourage any youth, any church that's looking for a youth pastor, that if there is a youth pastor on their list that's looking for it as a stepping stone, that they look for somebody else. They want somebody who's going to be there for their youth. And by the same token, they need to support that youth pastor. They need to be there. They need to have parents involved in supporting that youth pastor so that a program and this influence can be built for this youth group. I mean, there's so much that needs to go on. The next thing I think is that youth groups need to, the church as a whole need to bring the youth out of their little corner.
Amen.
Too many churches don't utilize the youth in the full service of the, mm-hmm. of the church. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen. You don't see youth coming up there on Sunday morning. I'm not talking about the youth Sunday where they've set aside that one little Sunday, you know, once every 3 months or however long it is, and they've come together and said, well, look what the youth can do. Wasn't that a wonderful service? You know, these youth can serve. These youth can do these things. It's introducing them to the full life body of the church early so that when they become 18 years old, they know how to minister. They don't just know church as the youth group time. They've been a part of the choir. They've been a part of the praise team. They've been a part of small groups that their families are involved in. And as a result, they know how to stay plugged in. But as it is right now, all they have is this entertainment-oriented youth group. And when college hits, guess what? It's a wake-up call for a lot of these youth.
Yes, it is.
Who they cannot, you know, it's not just the arguments and not just the philosophical and the spiritual ends of things where we haven't kept up with. It's that, you know what, we didn't go out and do all the fun things that we always did.
It's a bubble burster is what I found for a lot of kids. Right. It's like, whoa! This is what real life is like?
It's
how come no one told me when I was in youth group? Greg, what do you want to toss in there?
Just last thoughts. I think that, you know, as we seek to have youth ministries that are centered on Christ and His Word as He's revealed it to us, obviously our interpretations will always be fallible and imperfect, but we submit ourselves to it, and that's our worship to God. That's our orthodoxy, so to say, our Christian evangelical orthodoxy. What we've tried to implement is, you know, preaching the word in everything we do, being holistic in our ministry, whole church, whole family. It is weird. It is awkward. But who decides what's weird? Who decides what's normal? We need to redeem that. The kingdom of God is to redeem. You know, the world says, go out and do what you want. Truth is what you want it to be. The church says, no, truth is what God's revealed. And so He's given us a passion to really get past awkwardness or address it. Be honest with it. Be transparent about it and deal with it. And thirdly, just serving. Serving, and parents and students serving alongside of each other. Imagine that. And under the covering of love, that would just be lived out in humility. And I think it's a tough task that we have. You know, only the Holy Spirit of God keeps people. But as one of those kids who came from a very me-centered, entertainment-driven Taco Tuesdays Sega Genesis giveaway, all the kids listening are like, what's a Sega Genesis? Yeah,
it's
don't
classic.
Worry about it. It was cool, but now it's not. Imagine that.
Dude, that was like, you know, an update for me.
Seriously, Jeremy's like, Atari is my favorite. I like a little game of Pong every now and again. But at the end of the day, we just have to get over trying to be cool and realize that cool is nothing more than an insecure outcry for acceptance.
Well, you know, I would even say, I don't know if we have to get over being cool. We have to redefine what cool is.
That's what I mean.
And I've heard that a lot. You know, a lot of Christians are like, hey, you know what? We just have to stop worrying about being cool. And I'm like,
right.
since when is Christianity not cool? Christianity right. isn't cool because
exactly,
we make it not
exactly
cool
it, yeah.
because we say it isn't cool.
Exactly.
Well, if we ourselves are going to say it isn't cool, well, of course that's what people are going to believe because right. we're saying it isn't cool. Right. And why are we saying it isn't cool? Because we're defining it the way the world yeah. defines it. It needs a redefinition.
Absolutely.
I've right. always felt that Christianity is very cool. Right. I've loved being a Christian we got not a lot of time, but, you know, I'm one of those kids, one of those very rare cases, at least from what I've heard, where I became a Christian when I was 6, never had a severe time of backsliding, high school, college, whatever, stuck with it. Why? Because in my mind, I was like, what else is there? This is the coolest thing I have found. Right. But in my mind, it was because it was a redefinition of cool.
That's right.
Other kids were doing this. This is cool. I'm like, are you serious?
Right.
That looks lame.
It actually answered mm-hmm. your questions.
And you know what? That looks painful. Why would you do that to yourself? Because right. it's cool? Well, that's kind of weird.
We've got to take it back. Got to
right.
take it back.
Well, we touched on a lot of stuff tonight. We could probably have gone another hour or more with this topic. Jeremy and Greg, thank you so much for joining us tonight for this. I really appreciate you taking time out and doing this.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, sir.
And next week, we're going to talk a little pop culture. Rich Cristiano is a Christian movie director. He recently put out the movie Unidentified. He's going to chat with us movies and Christianity, pop culture and Christianity. What kind of movies should Christians be making or watching? And how much should Christians engage in pop culture or avoid it? Rich and I have some varying opinions on this, so it should be a very interesting show. And, of course, we'll want your opinion on it as well. So be sure to join us next week for Raw Talk. The following week is going to be a fun one as well, as we talk about the pagan Christmas. Christmas is based on a lot of pagan rituals, so why is it such a holy holiday now all of a sudden? And we'll have the former Wiccan, Tammy, join us. She joined us during Halloween. We're going to have her back for this special holiday show, so that should be fun as well. So a couple of great shows coming up for Raw Talk in the next couple weeks. Thanks for joining us. Thank you, everyone, for calling in. We appreciate your questions and your comments, as always, here on Raw Talk, and we'll see you next week here on M88.